Welcome back to the 2014 Grimmies. You thought we were done, but I found joshlee.com and wanted to see how we did with this year's awards. This is our recap show. So, Josh, welcome to the Grimmies. How do you feel?
Hi, I feel like I'm ready to judge you guys.
I'm literally going to keep a tally of which award you approve of and which award you disapprove of and keep it that vague. It's just going to be a yes or no question after we've talked through all of our awards here. So,
okay.
We're going to walk through our 26 categories, which sounds daunting at the beginning, but we'll take them.
What? You did 26 this year?
So I went back. I went back and looked at our first year. We did like 6, and then it jumped to like 14, and then it jumped to about 21. Last year we did 40.
What? So, no
yes,
way.
Yes.
Was I there for that?
No, that was the 8-hour show.
And yeah, then, I didn't do that.
And then
that's why, because you had 40 freaking categories.
And then we trimmed that down to 26 this year. I think 22.
A slim, a svelte 26.
It's only 5. It's like 5 a day plus the game of the year. So I wanted to go. I broke this into days this year. So I think next year we'll do 4 a day, and that might be a good number. So
I think next year that you should go for an award, which is most awards.
We can do that. Actually,
what's the most?
The most award.
It's like, let's have 100 categories.
So the good news is we're not doing 40, Josh, but I do need to talk to you about 26 awards tonight.
Okay.
And all right. What I'm looking for is just your honest reaction, because it's been a few days out since we recorded this. You've stayed willfully ignorant of what actually transpired.
Yes.
But you are a trusted Horrible Night staff member that your opinions matter. You won't change anything with your opinions, but we want to hear them, and might be a good take for the audience that just doesn't want to listen to everything else, but just wants to listen to you speak. So.
Hi, Mom.
So let's start things off with the Showstopper, which was probably a mistake on my part. Best Digital Butt kicked us off.
Oh, boy.
So our favorite assets to witness in 2014 on a game character.
Okay.
You know, this is the previous winners have been the likes of Chris Redfield and Laura Croft's hair has also won.
right. So, Dress effects.
And then
congratulations.
So what we did was we had big nominations before the show, whittled that down to two finalists and a winner. I say that except for this one had three finalists because we couldn't decide. So here we go. So the finalists for Best Digital Butt were Digital Kevin Spacey from Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Notice that we were too lazy to look up his actual character name. That'll come into play later. Then we had Frau Engel? Frau Engel's messed up face from Wolfenstein The New Order.
Okay, yes.
Yep. And then we have Randy Marsh from South Park, The Stick of Truth.
What?
And the winner of Best Digital Butt is Luigi's Death Stare from Mario Kart 8. General take. Are we missing anything?
Well,
it's a very important category.
I don't know. It's a tough one because it's kind of it's a jokey kind of category. It's like we want to.
So the most disappointing part was the first nominee was Bayonetta. I was like, I don't think that person understood the spirit of the award.
Well,
but Bayonetta, yeah,
that's not what we're.
I was actually going to give it to Bayonetta's hair if that.
But
are you okay with Luigi's Death Stare winning?
Death Stare was actually that was pretty great.
It was pretty transcendent.
That was pretty. It was, yeah, sure. You know what, sure. In a year where nothing really stood out to me as being like, oh, damn, we'll give it to something silly. I'm okay with it.
Maybe if we had found Ethan Carter, he would have won. next up was the Best Brosif Award. This is an award that's close to your heart.
Yes.
Because this is your war buddy. This is the character that is going to be there for you always. So... Mm-hmm.
It's your Frank or your Big Bo.
Exactly. We should just name. It should be Big Bosef. Best Bosef. Okay. The finalists were Herc from Sun. That's not correct. Herc from Far Cry 4. I had Sunset Overdrive written down there. And then Iron Bull from Dragon Age Inquisition. The winner was Fergus Reed. Fergus from Wolfenstein.
Okay.
All right, Fergus. Good. You're going to be on board with a lot of these awards if you are a Fergus appreciator.
Yeah.
I had to write an apology. In this award, I think I wrote an apology to people that picked Private Wyatt. So, Fergus is awesome. And
whoops.
So, you've been on a lot of our original podcasts, and one of our unsaid rules was, you know, we're going to curse on the show. We're going to, you know, but are there some words we don't want to say? And we came up with a couple.
Yes.
I broke that rule for Fergus because he delivers like, did you beat Wolfenstein the New Order?
Actually, so I haven't beat it yet.
Okay.
But I am really close, I think, to the end.
Okay.
So I will just say, spoiled if you can.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. But he has a great moment with Blazkowicz of just trying to motivate him, and he says some very inspirational things. So it's worth watching. I linked to it on the site, and I said it. I'm not going to say it on this podcast, but it was. Yeah, we broke a rule for Fergus. That's how important he is to us. So
there were people that didn't pick Fergus. Like,
No, there wasn't much of a fight. Fergus became kind of a hero of the show. So
no, I mean in the game when playing.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean?
I mean, there's a Blazko kind of builds up the whole, like, all these kids are dying, man. Maybe you want to save one of the kids versus saving the old man. And
I get it. There's definitely some guilt even after you don't.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. There was no option in my mind because.
Do you want to get the job done? or do you want to be a Nancy?
The other award, I think that you had a big part in creating. I'll be interested in your reaction to this one, but we're on to best trucks. So this is like the recreation vehicle of recreation vehicles.
Yeah. Right. I already know you didn't pick mine, but
our finalists were the Sparrow from Destiny, and Octodad from Octodad's Deadliest Catch. And winner was actually a write-in nomination on the show itself. Was the elephant from Far Cry 4?
That's funny, but no, incorrect.
So that's now
all incorrect.
What was the correct answer?
The best truck.
Uh-huh,
this year was a truck. The Sand King XL from GTA 5.
Oh.
On the next-gen consoles.
I don't think we would have counted it. We were counting GTA 5 for best-looking game. Like, it was nominated there, but the gameplay itself was 2013, so I don't know if it would have survived. I thought you were going to go with, like, spin tires. So.
No, although... That was cool, but I think that was also really a 2013 game, right?
It was an early access thing that it just came out.
Yeah. So. Well, in any case, I don't care. I spent a whole lot of time in a Sand King XL this year, and I didn't before. So
that's fair. But you said the whole category was wrong. Was there any other trucks that stood out?
Oh no, not necessarily. It's just that truck, like everything else, is like, well, this is an actual truck. It's also my favorite vehicle ever in a game. I mean, I play a lot of I play a lot of that game multiplayer, kind of co-op, dicking around, whatever. And this is like an actual gigantic, like it's like a F-350 kind of, if it was a real truck. And I've got this. It's just like a huge, gigantic tires on it, like tons of. I got like crazy horn, and I got all this bullshit. Like, you can do a lot of modding of your cars, and this thing just, I've ramped mountains in it. I've raced like hot import cars with it. I've killed a lot of people in it. That was the best truck of 2014.
I can't argue with it. Have you broke the game with it yet? Or have you broke the truck?
Wait, well, no, I haven't done, anything that was so crazy that, like, the game flipped out.
I feel like the best truck also has to have a moment where that you can't get that truck out because you... I mean, it is about taking the truck where it should not go, but but there should be an end-of-the-line type of moment, too, so...
You know, that's the thing. I haven't found that yet, because every time I push it to the limits, the truck comes through. It always comes through. I'm like, there's no way it's going to get out of this thing. Oh, shit. We took it to the top. We picked it up in the Chinook. Dropped it off at the top of the tallest building in the whole city, and I drove it off.
That's fantastic.
And it landed, and it survived.
And you hit the PS4 share button right then, didn't you?
I actually did, yes.
Did you?
I have so many videos saved. Okay. My hard drive is full because I have so many videos saved of that truck.
Next up was best guns. So this is a gun, an item, a weapon, your favorite tool of games this year. Mm-hmm. The runners-up were TNT Teddy, from representing the guns of Sunset Overdrive. Rocket launcher that shoots explosive teddy bears. The laser craft work from Wolfenstein The New Order, because that tool gets nuts.
That thing is sweet.
And then the winner actually was the elephant from Far Cry 4. Are you okay with elephant winning best guns?
You know what? Yes, because that's pretty awesome. That's pretty rad. Yeah,
they had a lot of elephant stories. Sweet. So, sure. And a lot of push from. I need to play some Far Cry 4. So,
that's a good game.
One of our few new awards. This used to be the Game Against Humanity, but I think it was starting to get a little too negative for me. So we renamed it the Video Game Ass Video Game of the Year. Or the most video game. I think that's what I'm going to actually end up calling it next year. But, so just, you know, those mindless moments where you're just enjoying playing a video game for it being a video game and the ones that stand out there. So the runners up are, Far Cry 4 and Goat Simulator. And the winner was Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, I didn't play Sunset Overdrive, so that's kind of hard for me to argue against.
Is there something you would throw in there that isn't GTA?
Oh boy, that's tough. Did you have any other? What were the other nominees you had?
Let me look that up real quick.
I didn't want to look at that just in case gave something.
Yeah, I appreciate. We're trying to figure out. Do you go in with all this information and slap us down from the nominations on, or?
I mean, honestly, isn't Shadow of Mordor kind of fits in that category? I mean, and that was one of the best game systems, like new game systems introduced in a long time.
I think its complexity almost holds it down in this category, but let's see.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I understand.
Earth Defense Force 2025 did get nominated.
I had a really good time with that, but.
Infamous Second Son was in there. Gods Will Be Watching, just for its dedication to being a hard-ass video game. Mm-hmm. Bayonetta 2. And
that's a video game-ass video game.
and then South Park was another. Oh, Shadow Mordor did get nominated. Excuse me. That was one of the first ones. So it got in there, but didn't make the cut. So
okay. Sunset Override looks like that's...
It's just fun.
It was one video game-ass video game, so...
It's just fun to run around, and that's a compliment in 2014, I think. So next up is our old game of the year, ditching our 2013 game of 2014 type of scenario. This is more of just a consensus. It was a weird kind of category. It's just like, what old game just stuck with us this year? So we kind of took it from a consensus of the people that were there and stuff we've written about on the site. So this one might be a little harder for you to judge, but anyway. Our finalists were The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds. A couple guys finished that game this year. Borderlands 2, because that game never fucking dies. And the
it's
winner
not
was
that good.
The winner was Deus Ex: Human Revolution.
Human Resolution. Really? Wow.
Multiple people did completionist runs, and a couple people checked it out for the first time. So
that's weird.
That came out of fucking nowhere. I wasn't a nominee. So. That was definitely what that was like. That was the I announced the winner, and Cole gave a holy shit after that because he was part of the original nomination crew there. We shot down Spelunky because I was like, that we played that so much more the year before.
Yeah,
right. And Dark Souls was you're playing that because you were getting ready for Dark Souls 2. Towerfall should have made more of a case because we claimed that as a 2013 game for the Ouya, and we played a lot of that.
Rogue Legacy. I've played a lot of that on the couch.
Yeah. Rogue Legacy and Warframe were considerations, and Marvel Heroes actually got mentioned in this category. So,
which was that real actual winner?
Oh, so we're actually with that. We're going to go with a no. I'm okay with putting that as a no for Josh Lee.
That's absolutely yeah. Right. That game did so much this year as far as completely updating it to make it newbie friendly. They added more content. They add a new character class once a month.
What up, Chris? I forgot. So we're actually doing this live, and I hadn't been paying attention to chat, but Chris has come by and hates Dark Souls, and not the Far Cry 4 fan. You're going to be upset later.
Spoilers.
No, it just comes up all the time. And so that takes us to our Not Entertained Award, which is our Underachiever of the Year, which we this year kind of laid focus on the gap between your original expectations and then where the final product actually landed.
Where this is going. Yeah.
So, our finalists were The Evil Within and Watch Dogs, and the winner was Destiny.
Yeah.
which even with that gap description, there was a pretty big fight between Watch Dogs and Destiny because Watch Dogs was supposed to be that, hey, next gen's fucking coming.
I'm glad I didn't have to make that argument. But I thought about this a lot.
Okay.
Because those were the two things. But the thing is, I didn't actually play Watch Dogs. Watched a lot of it. I watched a lot of video of people playing it, but there's a reason I didn't buy it. Was because everyone did a very good job of pointing out exactly why that game was not worth your money and wasn't what we thought it was going to be. And it was like, that was the great hope.
And it was like a gradual decline from that point, from that great hope moment. So.
Yeah, right. It was just, I think by the time it launched, I actually had somewhat tempered expectations because of those things. I think it definitely would lost to Destiny legitimately because Destiny, I was riding that hype train hard, real hard, all the way up until day one, even through beta, the alpha and the beta.
We're talking about at the very end of the beta, where for those of us that played the alpha, we were playing kind of repeat content, and I got through everything, and it's just kind of like in the back of your mind, you're like, there's going to be like 15 or 20 planets, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing. We talked about this. You and I played this. We talked about how this could be a just gigantic issue surely not because
it's Bungie.
Everything about that game. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that you didn't fly your ship. I was surprised that you just that there was just the four planets and the one kind of small tower area. It's like no way, surely we're gonna do all this other shit. No That's it. Like the scope of that game, the way it was advertised, I cannot believe that it was just because what it could have been, the promise of it was really, really grand, and it is so much fun to actually play. That's some of the best shooting, and I mean they really knocked it out of the park with the moment-to-moment gameplay. And I think the AI is like decent. I know some people.
So when do you think this game is worth playing? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years?
I don't. I think it's Destiny 2.
Okay.
If they do that, there's no way they don't know.
Yeah.
What everyone wanted out of this.
Yep.
Because they sold it a certain way. You don't like.
I still just want to know what fucking happened because it just still reeks of it got gutted at some point, or they had to make a turn to get it out the door, because all that fucking grimoire shit just annoys the hell out of me. Like the story is there, but
that's really weird. It's so light and like they obviously crafted it just to kind of a pretty rich, crazy, detailed world, like it's a very unique kind of sci-fi shit, and they don't, you get just weird bits of that. I just, the other day I was playing it and playing some co-op, and we jump into a mission, and there's like barely any intro, but the stuff they're talking about, it's just, it sounds like someone watching like Star Trek for the first time, and they're just, it's just techno babble. You're like, what in the fuck are they talking about right now? They're just like making up words, and like, oh man, that's Halo. Like, there, here comes the Halo. They're making names up for, everyone's got a, some kind of real fancy name for, you know, like, oh, this is the, it's the Traveler. This is the, you know, like, what in the hell? Is it, they just completely blew it with all that stuff. Because no one cares about any of it.
Yep. Yep. On that side, maybe I shouldn't have expected much from Bungie on the story side. But anyway, I was actually, it was the first kind of fun debate we had on the show, was the a couple of guys were pulling for Watch Dogs and made a bigger argument than I expected. I thought Destiny would walk away with it. So any other nominees that you would have considered?
Oh, the Shockers for you? Well, just, well, I didn't. I actually don't think Evil Within belongs on that list.
Okay.
I think Evil Within is actually a pretty good game.
It's a pretty good Saw movie.
I think it's a really good Resident Evil 4 game.
Josh has your back.
I mean, Dean
has your back.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's because everyone just said, like, oh, this is garbage, just completely ignore it, and then I'm playing it right now, and I think it's...
I had unfair expectations of that game, and just was not interested in playing it after I found out kind of what it was. Like, I still wanted more survival horror than torture porn, was kind of my expectations there, but...
I guess, but it's, I mean, some of that, I don't know, some of that stuff I give a pass just because it's like a, some of it's just like an cultural artistic kind of thing, like where you go like, oh, it's Mikami or whatever, and you just go, okay, that's, I'm getting the vision here, but it feels so much like Resident Evil 4 to me, like just moment to moment, I'm like, I'm playing that game again, or a sequel to that game is how it feels, and I like the weird Twin Peaks, Deadly Premonition kind of weird shit that goes on, and it's, it's Silent Hill and Twin Peaks, all that stuff kind of all together, I think actually is pretty decent. So I wouldn't have had that on the, I don't have anything to add to the list, but I got something to pull off.
Okay, that's fair. But we're still putting you for a yes for agreeing for Destiny, so.
Mm-hmm. Resounding, actually, yeah.
Next up is the More of These Award, which is funny, is becoming one of my more cloudy awards, because this is our middle tier game of the year. This is what, back established when there was a clear difference between like studio side projects and their AAA game. So, but it's getting harder to do this, but, we'll keep advancing it. Our, finalists were Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, and Styx Master of Shadows. And then, our winner act was Valiant Hearts, The Great War.
Okay. All right.
Let's see. Some of the other.
I actually haven't played that, so I get that's another one where
it's really good. It surprised me
against a lot. Yeah, everybody seems to think
it's actually fun to play. It's actually it's got a brisk pace to it. So it's all. I think it's. I kind of said like this is the style of adventure game I'd like Telltale to give a try. Like try to mix it up, and it's a really good adventure game. Legend of Grimrock 2 was nominated. Strider. Earth Defense Force, Hyrule Warriors, yeah. Lords of the Fallen. Those were the other contenders there.
Those are kind of, I don't know, those are kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know what I, so, can I say, this might not be the place for this, but it may come up again, but I spent a lot of time this holiday season playing Drawful on the Jackbox Party Pack.
Sure.
And I would like to say, I would have definitely probably pushed for this myself.
I would like to see.
Go ahead.
I'd like to see Jackbox maybe have gotten mentioned in another category. So that's interesting.
So I think that was, I mean, it's just like really well done kind of package, awesome value and all that. But the idea that here's board games, you know, that's really what they are. Board games, card games. Those are tabletop things like family, you know, like Trivial Pursuit, you know, those, I don't know, like you would find this on the shelf at Walmart, and they somehow figured out a way, I don't know why no one else has done this, at least that I know of, made it so that like you drop it on the TV, and everyone can use a phone as their controller.
Yep.
It works. Like we didn't really have hardly any problems any of the times that we've tried it with everyone random ass like weird phones and tablets and shit. And then you've got your they took advantage of it by doing things you couldn't do with a standard game with controllers. Like you have your own private screen. So therefore you can do something without anyone else seeing it and taking advantage of that. I want to see more games use your mobile devices as your controllers and take that fun experience at the table and put it in the living room.
Yep. I couldn't agree more.
More of those, please.
Along those lines, I'm actually surprised Sports Friends didn't come up in this category too. Just as a different.
But we kind of have more of those already, though. You know,
that's fair. You okay with our winner or?
Yeah, sure. I like the idea of that game, even if I haven't played it. Those kinds of games, especially it came out of Ubisoft, right?
Yeah. Well, we've got this Ubi art engine. We should probably like use it for other stuff that's not Rayman.
So yeah, let's make Child of Light and Valiant Hearts.
Let's make an RPG and adventure game. Go.
Yep, I'm okay with that.
All right, next up is the Quickie Awards, the game you go to when you only have like 10 minutes. So finalists were Hearthstone. I don't know if you've heard of that game. And Threes, exclamation point. Yeah. Winner was Crossy Road.
Cool. I would also pick Crossy Road. Crossy Road's pretty fantastic.
Any other recommendations?
It's too bad that you have to swipe to move left and right. That's just
awful. Yeah, it's a little. But hey, you were there when Frogger crashed and burned in front of us. Like when we
Oh man, that game was so bad.
When we realized maybe Frogger's
sweet
not a good
Konami
game.
Themes. Like, look, there's like Bill and Lance, and they're shooting spread guns. Like, and you're just crossing a road. You can't save that game by fan service. So that Frogger DX, whatever, was shit. There's nothing on my personal list that I would say was a quickie kind of thing. I'm gonna say Crossy Road was probably it. Yeah.
That's good. That's your smart man. Not to fault Threes, because Threes had its day too. So
sure, but Threes is also boring as shit. Like, it sounds cool.
Let's calm down with that amount of negativity.
Let's do some math. I'll probably just play Math Blaster.
I think that was Coop's argument. He's like, I don't want to relax and do math.
Like when if I'm already grunting during my 10 minutes of gaming, like I don't need also to be like straining my brain.
Well played. It's the most subtle poop joke ever on the history of all of our podcasts. So I'm moving on to the BFG Award. This is our Overachiever of the Year, so keep that gap in mind. It's just the other way. The finalists were Wolfenstein The New Order and Alien Isolation. And the winner was South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Ooh, boy.
Arguments for South Park focused around that game almost probably shouldn't have come out after Ubisoft bought it from THQ and kept delaying it, and Matt and Trey probably never stopping tweaking it. And if it did come out, it probably was going to be broken and unfinished. And
yes,
that is one dense, complete video game.
Everyone wins when we have good choices in this category, because it's meant that there were some sweet games that didn't look so sweet maybe before. But I would hear arguments about Wolfenstein, because Wolfenstein was way, way, way better than it had any right to be.
Yep.
I cannot believe how much I gave a shit about BJ Blazkowicz.
I know. It's William.
No way. Be the beach.
I can't believe that in this conversation that I almost want to pitch Wolfenstein winning now based on the fact that it has the most well done sex scene in all of video games.
Oh God. Oh man. I mean, that was really romantic. I was almost blushed. I almost cried a little bit, and I was slightly, turned on a little bit. Very well done. Extremely. Like, yeah, Mass Effect team, take notice here of this.
Yes.
I thought that game,
sure,
the game is really, really, really good. But also, man, you could argue Shadow of Mordor. That game. So,
yeah, I was struggling to find out what the expectations were before, but that, yeah, that's fair. Like, it's just like nobody was talking about it, really. It was just kind of like, you know, like Batman Combat. Yeah,
it was sure. Like, oh,
this
Batman Combat.
Nemesis system, who the fuck knows if that's going to work.
And, man, that was fun.
Okay, I'm going to put you down for a no for this one. South Park, does it get some love for you? Did you think it was going
to
be bad?
Oh, no, absolutely. No, yeah. South Park's cool, and I need to go back and finish it. But, yeah, it's great. I also don't have, like, a super deep love for South Park.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I appreciate it. Yeah. You know, I appreciate what it is, but so that probably kind of buys into it.
I think
I would have picked Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein, we basically said, like, there really hasn't been a terrible game. They've all just been kind of okay and forgettable, but it hadn't bottomed out like every other South Park game's been god-awful.
Yeah, but what were the things you liked about the Wolfenstein games? It wasn't the characters.
Right. Yeah, no, totally.
It wasn't the writing and the performances.
Yeah. And then Alien was just the focus on the atmosphere and just how how far they went into just trying to recreate the atmosphere of the original movie. So
sure.
So that is, we're actually on to day 3 of our awards here. This is when the F-bomb started flying because we were moved on to the Fuck Me Award. This is the challenging game that you enjoyed playing, even though it beat the shit out of you. So,
oh God,
this was contentious. Finalists were Wayward Souls, which is a iOS game. So I don't know if you played that, but Dark Souls, good controls on touchscreen.
No such thing, but okay.
Banished, which is a town building game that has really harsh rules. Ethan and Jason, huge fans of it. So, and then the winner was Alien Isolation.
Okay,
let's look at these other nominees because I'm trying to remember myself.
Well, let me go ahead and throw one in: Shovel Knight.
Sure.
Some people might not have found it that difficult. Mm-hmm. I did. I thought it was like super tough. It was NES hard.
Yeah.
But it had, but it also was super fair.
Yep.
Super fair because those controls were tight. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and you know, it's funny. A lot of that game is, it's Mega Man level design a lot of times meets DuckTales.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly doing that bounce thing. And I actually also played DuckTales
it's
recently.
It's a Siamese Quest. Yes. Every time I was in the town.
Having played recently the DuckTales after Shovel Knight, I thought, I'm like, oh God, Shovel Knight's so much tighter than this. Like,
yeah, that made it to.
Yeah.
That was one of the far final cuts. So, and then. Gods Will Be Watching would have won if that game was fun to play.
sure.
1001 Spikes was more forgettable than I anticipated.
Okay.
So there was some argument for Hearthstone, but we shut that out as far as like just multiplayer stuff not really counting. So, but how do you feel about Alien Isolation winning? You put Shovel Knight at the top?
Yeah, I'm okay with that actually because that seems like I want to reward that design choice there. I think that's fucking awesome.
Here is one of your creations, Mr. Dave Award for Best New Character. So our finalists were Douchebag or yourself from South Park, The Stick of Truth. Bloody Mary from The Wolf Among Us. And the winner was Fergus from Wolfenstein.
God, I love Fergus. Fergus is cool.
Any other standouts that we miss? Or
I don't know. I mean, I like a good... Oh, gosh.
I was trying to think. Pagan Min was thrown out.
I wish there'd been more of the dwarf in Shadow of Mordor.
You liked him? I couldn't stand him.
I think he could have turned into... Like, they could have turned that around. That could have ended up being like... Oh, he's kind of annoying, and then you're like, okay, I kind of respect him.
I think
then,
they
like,
ran out of time.
Into, Yeah.
They ran out of time for the story in that game. That's got to be the only.
Absolutely. There's only 20 story missions, and there, you will beat that game without on accident. But so that was kind of cool. That game had I like Cara Brimbor in that too. That was kind of neat. Again, like could have been fleshed out more. Ooh, man, Fergus's
Iron Bowl got shut out of this one, mainly because none of us got far enough in Dragon Age to see the arc of his character. Like it was just, I think he had a better chance in this than Brosif actually.
Does Pagan Man get a lot nominated. Of screen time?
No, apparently I think he's just the Handsome Jack over the radio, but better than Handsome Jack. Was the consensus.
That early on that character is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. For new characters, I don't have any.
Did you play Jazz Punk?
No.
Okay. I tried to get that hobo from Jazz Punk to win. Blasco got some. Blasco and the Frau from Wolfenstein got some nods there. Professor Rapitsky from Super Time Force. Did you play some Super Time Force?
No.
He's ridiculous. I tried to actually push for the your nemesis in Shadow of Mordor, but apparently I had the ultimate nemesis moments that nobody else cared. So.
Yeah, I had some good ones. Oh, man. I actually really liked Ratbag.
Yeah, I'm surprised we forgot him completely. Like, I get him not winning, but or being
a finalist. Yeah, right, sure. But on the list, you for have some to put him on.
Yeah, when I thought about Mordor, I always went back to how much I didn't like the dwarf. So I think I just completely forgot about Ratbag because that happens after the Ratbag stuff. So
Yeah. That's a tragic story.
They didn't conclude Ratbag well, and they could have, but...
Yeah, I thought it was super fitting. Super, super fitting for what that character really was.
Yeah.
Like, they did the thing that you do in stories like that, and then they just did what they did. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how it should have been done.
Did you play The Wolf Among Us?
No, okay. I don't play those Telltale games. Yeah, no, I feel about... I would watch them. If someone in my house played them,
you could watch
I would
mine.
Totally watch.
You watch YouTube videos.
I watched you play Walking Dead a bunch, and that was fine. But
she's a good villain. She's a good villain.
I liked some of the characters in Second Son.
Don't say the brother. Don't say the brother.
The brother was awful, but I actually really liked the main character and the what's her name? I forgot her name. She's the evil bad guy in that. She was bad.
Yeah.
That was kind of a cool character. Anyways, I guess I like the bad guys this year.
Yeah. Bloody Mary was a villain in Wolf Among Us that stood out for me. And then the guys are really pushing for, apparently there's a moment with your character towards the end of South Park that's why they're fighting for Douchebag. But I assume you're completely fine with Fergus taking this.
Oh, absolutely.
Seriously, why would you pick Wyatt? It should be a hashtag. Why Wyatt? The Comeback Award. So this is the kind of the franchise-saving game. Finalists here were South Park, The Stick of Truth, and Dragon Age Inquisition. And the winner was Alien Isolation.
What were the rules here? Because when I hear franchise...
Best remake or update or best remake, update, or series saving sequel. So keep in mind where the series. The IP works. IP works too.
Okay.
What are you trying to argue for?
No, Alien Isolation, it just has nothing to do with any of the previous games that use that IP would be my only kind of argument there. But I don't know.
Games starring xenomorphs. That was my argument. Let's see. Other nominees. I tried to push for Diablo 3 to get into the finals, Reaper of Souls, just because all the updates they've made me play that game a ton this year.
Adventure mode. I played a decent amount of that on the console.
Yep. Yeah.
That plays really well on PS4.
And then a lot of the other games Far Cry and Call of Duty and Mario Kart, it was the series wasn't really down that much. So,
No. The only thing that was maybe a surprise was as far as like series that already existed was probably Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm just gushing over it. But again, like that was I didn't give a shit about that series.
So out of the three, would you of Alien, Dragon Age, and South Park, would you have gone with Alien?
Yeah, if we're going IP, Alien, absolutely. Okay. Because when was the last time I enjoyed an Alien game? Infestation, yeah, on the DS, probably.
Nice. Before that,
AVP2. So.
Next up is the Tingle Award for Worst Character. So finalists were Beauty and Beast from The Wolf Among Us. That was the one I was most riled up about. Mm-hmm. Ghost from Destiny was a finalist. The winner actually was the narrator from Valiant Hearts, The Great War. And the explanation I gave is, you remember the old Eminem video, like where he's with Dre and they're doing like the split personality thing? And they do these little skits. You know what I'm talking about? I forget the name, yes, of the song.
Right.
And in between all of those skits is an announcer that like sets up what's ever going on in the story. That voice is what's in this game as the narrator in between scenes. And it is like, he sounds like he should be in music videos or trailers, not tying together my World War I heart-wrenching story.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
It was like the one misstep that game has. A couple of guys that played the game were riled up about it too. So, and I don't know. I was like, Ghost got a lot of shit this year. I was indifferent to the performance because the character was like a non-character to me. So,
Had they not put all those the filters on his voice,
yeah, to try to,
it would have made it worse. Yeah. Once they added that stuff in, it was like, okay, I kind of see what he's going for. Maybe they did that and played it back to him and like, keep it flat. I don't think that was a great performance by any stretch, but he has his moments.
Let's see what the other nominees were.
I don't know. The brother in Infamous, you already brought it up.
Yes,
I hated him a lot.
Good.
Really didn't like it.
Your friends and Johann Sebastian Joust were nominated. Let's see, the Cryptarch from Destiny was nominated. And I think you may have seen this video, though. Bufkin from The Wolf Among Us was nominated.
Yeah, Bufkin seemed pretty annoying.
Aiden from Watch Dogs, but we decided he has no character, so he's not a bad character. I thought that was funny.
There weren't a lot of...
No. Ichabod Crane from we got some other Wolf Among Us that you...
I'm trying to think of anybody from Dragon Age I didn't like that much. No one I hated.
I don't like Vivian in that game at all.
Yeah.
Mainly because I tried to, I tried to score with her and she shut me down. So.
Oh, well, unrequited love is. I don't think that's a good reason to put her on the list.
And she's got weird politics, man.
I don't have anything to add to that, so I'm gonna.
I'm gonna say you're an indifferent to that one. So.
Sure.
Unless you really want a Ghost to win, then you can go with an absolute no.
No, I didn't.
All right.
No, I didn't care that much.
Mind fuck of the year. I don't think it was quite as memorable this year as it has been in years past, but we had the credits scene from Jazz Punk. PT, basically, for its existence and its gameplay. And then the winner... actually was Potato Man Seeks the Truth. Apparently the ending of that game that is already weird is...
What? I didn't even heard of that.
Came out at the end of the year. Like,
those words don't come out of my mouth that often, so...
Yeah. Nominees, Transistor, Goat Simulator was fought for like all the devil stuff in that game. We got Super Time Force for being a puzzle game and not an action game. This actually got got towards the end there, was just playlists and the Master Chief Collection. One for just jumping between games and the physics shift, and two for just not working at all. Monument Valley and the Fract OSC. This just didn't seem to be a strong category this year.
I'm guessing no one played The Evil Within.
Right. Nope.
In other territories, the name of this game fits this category perfectly. It was called Psycho Break.
What the fuck?
Everywhere else. Yeah.
We don't get Biohazard and we don't get Psycho Break?
I know, right? I saw like pictures of like posters and stuff up in like I don't know, Australian Walmarts or something, I don't know. And they looked sweet. That game has some, even just like early on in that game, it's got crazy moments. Some of them is kind of fresh in my mind because I played it recently, but there's a moment kind of early on when you're just like you're a cop with some other cops and you go investigate something bad. So there's like been a, something's gone. You're just like cruising and just chatting, and then you get a call on the radio to go to this, like there's been a shooting or something. You go to an old school mental hospital, and there's like 4,000 cop cars parked out front, and no one's there. And you go inside, and there's some murdered people and stuff, and you're like, "What?" All of it's really dumb. It's great. And then a bunch of bad things happen, and as you leave, it's like there's a scene where the characters are driving away in a car, and the entire center of the city, and you don't notice it, like really what's happening at first, I don't think, but it starts like rotating, and everything else stays the same. There's these moments where like buildings are shearing in half, and you see like the inside of them as it's like these things rotating, and you're like, I don't know. There's some crazy stuff that happens in that game. The whole thing is a complete mindfuck. So,
oh, nice. I feel, it sounds like we missed the mark there. Like, even the guys that played through that, I think they were just so caught up in being disappointed by it, they didn't recognize the moments there. Hopefully.
Yeah, I would. That would have been my vote.
Or you're crazy. Sure. So that's a no from Josh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then, kind of related, there are a couple of these that started overlapping, but best moment of the year. So this is like best sequence or just best like singular isolated moment. So I think the difference is it doesn't have to be a twist. It's just the thing you remember that will be seared into your memory from a game from this year. So we really liked the beginning, hitting the start button in Dragon Age Inquisition, the gravity of that situation as it went on.
Cool, yeah.
The ending to The Last of Us Left Behind, the DLC that came out this year.
I haven't played it.
It's very, very solid. And the winner, and I asked them not to spoil this, but to come up with a description of it. So we'll just call it Equestrian Foreplay from South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh, jeez. That sounds awful.
Let's see.
Oh, no.
There's a twist.
I got a bad taste in my mouth right now.
Jazz Punk was also up in there. Wolfenstein, we just said the trip you make in that game was nice.
Are you not spoiling that either?
No. I had it spoiled for me, so I'm not going to spoil it for others.
Okay, yeah. Go. Well, can we just say, like, when you're playing that game, when you get to the safe house, go lie in the bed? Go to sleep.
Yeah, that was also the nightmares. Yeah.
Oh, that's not what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking. I was actually talking about. We thought, where the location of one of the Nazi bases was pretty cool.
Oh yes, it was very cool.
And how casually it is done, but it's also awesome. So
you know what? There are a lot of really that
the game, man.
That game goes to some cool places.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's neat. How about the first time you see someone show up in Shadow of Mordor that you thought you killed?
Nemesis stuff, yeah.
And then you're like, and then he says something to you that's actually pretty cool. Mm. Or my favorite, when a guy just shows up, clashes swords with you, the camera zooms in on him, he just goes, ah! He just starts screaming.
My nemesis.
I've lost it. Holy shit. Like, what the fuck? He does, like, because it does that, you know, the Brock Lesnar thing. Like, where he goes.
Oh, total Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So,
let's do this.
So my nemesis, my ultimate nemesis in this game was one of those screaming characters, except he was a archer. So he was like screaming at me from across the map. And it was just like, oh, shit. So I have a YouTube clip of that, but yeah, I didn't get any backing with the Nemesis stuff. So I'm gonna put that as a no because I think that's what we both agree should have happened. But
yeah.
I thought you don't recognize it right at the beginning of Dragon Age Inquisition, but as you just keep thinking about it and just like the whole story, like it's because you hit the start button Oh, I thought that was going to be.
It really is, because you can sit there forever and it continues. Also, the longer you wait, the more people die, theoretically. Because those two streams of people just keep going.
Yep, that's a good point. I'm glad you appreciate that. But a no from Josh, because best looking game of the year. I was pissed off because I couldn't get Crossy Road in the finals. Finalists here were Child of Light and Mario Kart 8, and the winner was Alien Isolation.
That's a good looking game. That also has some of the best. My only argument against that would be that they just completely recreated the movie sets.
but their attention to detail, I think, also helps.
Absolutely. Yep. No, I'm with you on that.
They were also pimping up just the androids and how creepy they are in that game, too. So just some of the other atmosphere stuff beyond the consoles. Let's see, Advanced Warfare, Inquisition, Second Son's hands. I really was trying to push for his fingers, the fidelity of his fingers. And Infamous.
Yeah, actually, Infamous looked kind of good all around. Mm-hmm. I thought that looked really good. What about
Grand Theft Auto V was nominated, for the record.
So, to me, that's the only game I played all year long where I would stop on a kind of a regular basis and go, shit, look at that. Get in a helicopter at night and go up above the city on a clear night and look out at it. The way they draw the, you know, they don't, every game has like some pop in and all that kind of stuff. I don't really notice it so much with that game. They do a good job of that, like making car, you see everything farther. That's the whole point of like the next gen version of it. But the way they at night draw the lights, mm-hmm. from all the way across the city, and they do that kind of depth of field on it, unbelievably gorgeous. But I also thought Destiny had moments.
Yep.
When you pop onto like Mars or Venus, and it's just like, or the moon even, like, shoot, this is
hard
good.
To carve through people's negative reactions to that game, but you can't. Yeah, I like the art style in that game. Just like
exactly,
just the right. gear you pick up too, beyond Destiny skyboxes and the typical Bungie stuff. But
and you know, that game did have the best skyboxes I've ever seen in a game. And for that has to count for something, right? Let's because we've had good skyboxes since Doom. when you're in the tower and the giant basketball, the magic basketball is floating there, and you see that city. Yep. Also the huge amount of disappointment when you realize you can never go see any of that stuff.
That's kind of take it down a notch.
Yeah.
Just other things, Transistor, Vanishing of Ethan Carter,
Transistors,
Mercenary Kings, I forgot about that, Luftrausers. Threes, you don't like threes. Monument Valley.
And threes?
Yeah. I like the little characters in that. Like, it's just everything goes together so well. It's just, I love it.
Okay.
Going back to Alien Isolation, Child of Light was, I couldn't get behind that, but I was glad Mario Kart 8 made it. I'm glad HD Nintendo is represented.
It looks good.
You give your stamp of approval to Alien Isolation. Or would you go with some of the other ones we mentioned?
Oh, boy. I mean, I you know what? I'm going to just let it go because I could sit here. There's too many. I couldn't pick out of my own favorites. I would have one.
Too hard.
Therefore,
too hard.
You have yours.
All right. So you're going to pass on that category.
Yeah, that's a pass.
So you'll get an even 20 out of 25. All right, early access or beta of the year. Runners-up were RimWorld and Broforce. The winner was Destiny.
Wait, that's not a joke.
No. That was
okay. The actual alpha or the beta that when they came out, we're not saying that that's an unfinished game still, and that's right.
We're just judging the beta for
because that was really funny up until that moment.
Let's see what else. Crypt of Necrodancer.
Really liked the forest.
Did you? Okay, I couldn't. I was more making fun of it than enjoying it, but that's fair. I like that they had a co-op, like that they're actually making significant changes to the game. It's kind of cool.
Weird, like what a weird, goofy game.
Yep.
But did kind of did some, of all those, there's a million of those games, a million of them. And this one, actually, if you kind of felt lost in the wilderness a little bit, and it had the creepiest, native dudes. Those, oh shit, they were creepiest. But like the way they moved and everything, that was pretty neat. I'm not saying it should win anything, but that was pretty cool.
What was your take on Starbound this year? That was one of our other finalists.
I played a bunch of that.
It sounds like they turned it on towards the end of the year again with like their weekly or daily builds or something like that.
Yeah, they added more stuff and all that. I don't think that game has this like just enough soul.
Gotcha.
The
Long Dark, Gang Beasts.
Gang Beasts.
Mighty Number 9. Those are the other standouts. Evolve. You actually had good luck with Evolve. I couldn't get into a game and moved on and didn't care because I'm getting the game anyway, so whatever. That was more my take. But you okay with Destiny winning?
Destiny's alpha filled me with so much hope.
Yep. Okay.
Also, Gang Beasts.
I'm okay with that.
Watch out for that. Also, if you have four people, a couch, four controllers, and a PC hooked up to your TV, if you don't download that game...
Okay. We'll put...
Dot, dot, dot. Murderize.
What's the name of that company that makes... It's something loaf.
Brain loaf?
Bone loaf?
Might be Bone Loaf. That's it, Bone Loaf.
Co-op game of the year is next. Actually, I think it's a down year for co-op games. After a few strong ones. So our finalists were Borderlands the pre-sequel, Earth Defense Force 2025. Winner was Diablo 3, Reaper of Souls. We had a pretty memorable marathon through that story, and I happened to play with strangers and strange friends on multiple occasions this time because of the updates. So what else we got here?
That was a good try on that stuff. It was wrong though. GTA 5 was actually
good. Let's see, they didn't make the cut. Jackbox was actually mentioned. Oh, it had taken off because we later decided that wasn't really a co-op experience.
Not co-op.
At least it's strongest.
Also,
games.
The only reason I'm throwing GTA 5 out because you said Diablo, and that also was not
Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls
this year.
Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls.
The expansion was?
Yeah.
Well, that's an expansion. Whatever.
And Ultimate Evil Edition.
Had also expansion content.
Expansions qualify.
Okay, I'm sticking in there, whatever.
What?
GTA 5, whatever.
Hey.
GTA 5.
I got Earth Defense Force to get... That's the farthest an Earth Defense Force game has been.
Yeah, that was... I feel like we had a good time with that.
Yeah. It's coming to PS4. I will show back up on the PS4. It's coming to PS4 in Japan. HD, higher frame rate.
Oh my shit.
No rumors on a North American release, but
who cares? It's region free. We can get Japanese PSN accounts.
All right, then let's make that happen.
Okay.
Other nominees were Gauntlet, Destiny, Titanfall, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare.
Hey, that
Far Cry 4.
I played a little bit on the couch.
Yeah. Good stuff.
A little split screen. It's pretty fun.
That's awesome.
A fun little tower defense kind of shooter thing. Yeah. Pretty sweet. Far Cry 4, did you say that?
Yep. No one got deep enough to speak to Far Cry 4's co-op, though.
That's the only reason I wouldn't argue for it, because I just haven't played co-op yet.
Same with Sunset Overdrive. Apparently has a pretty fun co-op mode, too. So
Destiny's co-op is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We had that, because that's the only way to play. That was on the list as well.
Also, pretty frustrating that it's limited to 3 players. besides a few strikes after you hit like 20.
Yep. Mobile game of the year. We actually combined DS and Vita with the phones and the tablets. So keep that in mind.
Sure.
Finalists, Shovel Knight, Crossy Road. Winner, Hearthstone.
That is really, really tough to argue. Before we started this podcast, I brought up to you that somebody And my household was playing a whole lot of Galaxy Trucker on an iPad.
Yeah.
I also have played a bunch of that. And I want to say, I got to just throw in just a little shout out to that.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic, fantastic board game. It's an even better game on tablet. But it's the same. The best part about it is you have in the middle of the table this huge pile of little starship pieces that are upside down. You can't see what they are. You have to flip them over, decide if you're going to place it on your ship or not. If you place it on your ship, it's permanent. Otherwise, you throw it in the pile face up and someone else can grab it. It's this mad dash thing. Mm. And you do that. They recreated that perfectly on the tablet. And it's pretty neat.
Is she playing, you play online with friends or do you play just online with strangers?
You can play local pass and play. Okay. They modified some bits of the game so it can be turn-based, sort of. And then they have online, like real-time play, and they have really good AI play as well.
Other nominees, Luftrausers, Wayward Souls, WWE Supercard.
No.
Threes. And Monument Valley. So
it's the answer is Luftrausers.
Luftrausers is pretty good. So are you going with a no on that? Or you...
Shit. Go back. That's my 10-minute game.
Wait, let's see if you disagree or agree on that one. Hold on.
Oh god.
Where's the quickie? You agree with that? Wait, are you going Luftrausers over Crossy Road?
Yeah. Can I do that? Can I go back?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay.
We're flexible. Okay, you're removing... You said Crossy Road sucks, Luftrausser is what you play when you gotta poop.
Yes.
Okay.
Crossy Road is good. Luftrausser's freaking owns.
All right, so you're... And that's a no for mobile game of the year then, too. Hearthstone versus Luftrausser. Okay.
It's... Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right, that's unfortunate, but I respect your opinion, even though it's wrong. All right, local multiplayer game of the year. Bring out the Bing Guts here. This is the other one where we couldn't narrow down the finalists to just two. So we've got the Jackbox Collection. You're gonna pimp the music too. finalist Jackbox.
Sorry. Like it's just freaking good. It just took way too long to do that. Jackbox.
Yes. Nidhogg. And Mario Kart 8.
Nidhogg is on my list. It's very high.
The winner.
Nidhogg is very, very, very good.
Of our local multiplayer game of the year is Sports Friends.
Oh, shit.
That was it. You're shaking your head.
I've got a list. I played a kind of a decent amount of like the couch co-op stuff. Mostly with like family mm-hmm. and then a mix of some like family and friends and stuff like that. It was kind of like a weird setup. So a lot of times I couldn't go kind of too heavy into the, kind of more hardcore kind of games. Sure. Like
Smash.
I really enjoyed Towerfall.
Mm-hmm.
No,
we were not calling Towerfall a 2014.
Okay. I guess. Did it come out on PS3 last year?
It was.
Or on PC and stuff?
Yep.
Okay, so I was playing on, new consoles and stuff. That's fine.
It was Ouya 213, but it was the
game. That doesn't count.
that was the qualifier.
Want that? Fuck.
So what are you going That's with? What are you trying to promote there? Are you trying to get Jackbox to the top, or?
Jackbox. Drawful, specifically, out of Jackbox.
Okay. Sure.
It's the hardest I laughed all year long.
Okay.
It's the most fun I had with like family probably like all year long. It's the one that has now jokes that some people I know like we keep going back to. There's like it's really dumb. It's Nidhogg though.
Nidhogg's your winner.
Okay. Nidhogg is the fuck that game is.
You're taking
brilliant.
Nidhogg over Pole Riders for the record.
Oh yeah. I love Pole Riders and all that, but Nidhogg is almost perfect.
It really is
competitive game.
It really is.
But it's a draw. Jackbox is close. If more of the games in the Jackbox Party Pack were good, I just don't like. Like this got a couple of kind of stinkers, and I think, but I'm sure most people like him. But Drawful isn't the whole package. It's Nidhogg.
Sports Friends not even in conversation right now.
I don't love all the games in that package. Again, I don't know. Part of it. If it was like if we were sitting here saying Super Pole Riders versus Nidhogg, I would
still go with Nidhogg.
Nidhogg is almost. It's just like it's. I can't.
Which I agree. Fault. Like I feel like those are neck and neck. I'll give the edge to Nidhogg, but I love Joust. I love Bari Bari Ball. I love Pole Riders. Hawkra, I haven't gotten enough experience with, but seems pretty fun. So, but
yeah,
I would have been surprised if Jackbox just didn't have enough people that had played it, but everybody that plays it, it's just kind of like a unanimous. Like I have you have stories to tell about your Jackbox games people that don't usually play games. So,
yep,
we're gonna try
and really go play Drawful with your friends that have a sense of humor that like to draw dicks.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't predict that. That's where you're going with it, but should have been surprised.
Also, like people that are super creative and clever will make that game that much better too.
Or people that just get frustrated because they can't draw, so they write out the words.
They're ruiners. And you don't play with them. Don't.
All right, I'm marking down for a no on that category. I feel like we really disappointed you there. That's a bummer. Next up is Indie Developer of the Year. Some of our caveats here are you have to release a game this year, and kind of your extracurricular activities also count into this. So you could get away with just releasing the most awesome game, and that makes you awesome, but there may be other things going on here, too. So our finalists are Servo LLC, who are the guys behind Threes, which I think is a really funny name because it's really just a couple dudes. Us Two, the developers of Monument Valley. And then our winner was Deconstruct Team for Gods Will Be Watching. We like how they stuck to their guns and added a ton of extra difficulty modes after people didn't like their game but still stuck to their guns.
Really?
Yeah. Monument Valley, we kind of like that those guys have been kind of tackling the whole app pricing conversation and got some shit for the DLC being priced for money. Apparently upset some people, but not giving into the free-to-play stuff. And then Threes for kind of maintaining among all their clones.
Okay, yeah.
What else would you like to throw out there?
I don't have a lot of indie games on my list this year. Mm-hmm. I probably had more to do with how much time I had to play games. I played a lot more tabletop stuff this year. It'd be like I kind of picked to choose my games a little more carefully, I guess. But you didn't say Yacht Club.
Yacht Club wasn't one of the last ones cut.
So.
It's funny that people kind of also just, when you make a retro game, they kind of write it off, but their dedication to their craft was noted.
Anyone that wrote that game off was being like just dismissive and for no good reason, because that game was one of the, if that came out on the NES,
it would be one of your most memorable games.
You'd be like, oh man, remember like on Legend of Zelda was really good, Mega Man 2 was cool, you know, it had the good music and stuff, but probably Shovel Knight's my favorite game on the NES.
Yep, totally.
Not that you could make that on NES, but it walks a fine line. I know there's a million of these games, and we love them, but
well, like
this one was special.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's hard for a game to communicate that. Like, unless you are like us and want to go find out that backstory, it doesn't necessarily come across in the game. And that's, honestly, you could say that about any of these stories, though. You just play Threes, just play Gods Will Be Watching and whatever. But, I don't know. I like Deconstruct Team sticking to their craft a bit. But would you agree with that sentiment, or would you bump up Yacht Club? It was also Yacht Club's first game, I found out after the fact.
Yeah, I actually was just checking that myself because I thought that was the case. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's all that. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'd give it to Yacht Club because I think Shovel Knight is the like maybe the best indie game this year.
I think that would have been a worthwhile argument to have. Music of the year. You know, I'm a little bitter about this category. I seriously went out of my way to avoid nominating World of Warcraft in like everything because I could find an excuse to do it. I just want to say I really enjoy the music that they added for Warlords of Draenor. Like,
really? Like in-game music in-game, or like the menu and the cutscene and all that?
In-game music during Draenor content. Like where you're at your garrison and you're going out into that continent and the intro stuff to that. I don't know. I don't know if it's this nostalgic thing, but it is. They continue to bring it on their high quality orchestral fantasy RPG music. Sure. But
yeah,
it just,
that's cool.
Like I said, other expansions for this game haven't stood out. This one, for whatever reason, did. I got shut down because you can't say that World of Warcraft in the room with those with anybody else. So
yeah,
it's not just our guys. It's yeah. So anyway, finalists for Music of the Year were Destiny, and Dragon Age Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
The winner was Transistor.
Good, yeah, good sound. Gosh, there are two games this year that I can think of that I played. You know, I'm sure there was other ones, whatever, Theater Rhythm or some shit, where you can like through the gameplay affect the music, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that is, Transistor had a button that you hold down to sing, which was great. In general, that music was really good. That was really good. I'm trying to picture it in my head, actually, some of this music. Can you just hum a little bit for me so I can just get back there? Okay. Now, Luftrausers?
Yeah.
I can't do it, but it's grungy, dirty electronic beautifulness, let me remember this. So it's not how you play that affects it's what you choose parts for your ship that changes the music.
Yes, there's different little remixes based on what ship you have.
There's a that like the title screen, whatever, you know, is cool. And then you get playing and it starts out like a driving kind of beat. And as it gets going, when it hits like the crescendo of that, if you don't get pumped, like you're in the middle of one of the hardest games, like that game is super, it is really tough. Also Luftrausers for hard game that beats the shit out of me. I changed my mind. It's not Shovel Knight. It's Luftrausers.
I think you still disagree. No. So yeah. Okay.
Luftrausers had a flow to it. You get into a groove, very Defender like. Almost had a little bit of Joust in there, old school Joust. I felt like that same thing, you know, or I'm like, I like going at like a high speed and just kind of making my runs and whatever. But then you have that, and you get in those grooves, and then the music starts getting like, you know, you're just, at any moment, you're just going to get your ass kicked. And then the music kicks in, and it gets so fucking epic.
That's your vote.
Also, Destiny had really, really good music.
And so you're with two of our three. You just don't agree with our winner, and we missed the opportunity on Luftrausers.
Yeah, Luftrausers was super good. It was also just like one track. One arrangement
cool.
with 40 different tracks. If you think like if you're like looking like a, you know, whatever you call like the music equivalent of a nonlinear editor, like you know, like a million tracks, like that's how they did it. And they turn them on and off depending on.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until somebody broke it down. But it's also funny to just go out and just listen to the straight up soundtrack, knowing that that's how it works.
Brilliant.
We also gave shout outs to Shovel Knight. Pretty good chip tunes. Smash Brothers, just for its fucking massive amount of classic music. Valiant Hearts, Wolfenstein, actually, Coop and I kind of enjoyed a few of the tracks in that game. Not the credits track, that probably broke it, because the credits are awful. The Wolf Among Us with kind of its 80s-ness. Yeah. So, and Sunset Overdrive for sticking to the themes.
I was trying to think if there's, like, one really cool, like last year, what did we give this to? Do you remember?
Last year, we went to Tiny Barbarian soundtrack from Jeff Ball.
Was Bioshock Infinite last year?
Yes.
The basement scene?
I want to say that got in the finals.
That was the best. Can we just make that this year then? Because okay, like, holy right. shit.
We'll give Troy an award this year just for that.
Josh's honorary. Actually sat in a room with like they're in the
they
in
did
the
it
credits
too well.
Of that game. They show
well.
That they show them recording that yeah. and like Ken Levine going like stop, that's too good, like you're too good. Holy cow. that was just beautiful. Beautiful scene.
Nice job, Troy. You can win Music of the Year 2014.
I love Troy
Baker
so much. And then he grew a beard, and I'm like, I have a beard, you have a beard, we should have beards together.
We should have beards together. Story of the year.
Strong.
Story of the year. Finalists, Last of Us Left Behind, Wolfenstein, The New Order, and the winner was South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Yeah. Ooh. This is best writing, right?
Yeah,
is
really narrative. What we're talking about. Yeah, just narrative.
Right. Best writing. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, let's see. What other... We had Jazz Punk in there, Wolf Among Us.
How would you think of Dragon Age's...
I didn't give a writing. Shit, so it didn't make it far for me. I like the political struggle in that game, but the details I don't care about. Like, it's just...
I haven't gotten that far into it yet.
Yeah.
But so far, Far Cry 4's writing is really real solid. That's like the
We couldn't
solid.
Determine if people just liked it because Far Cry 3's was so bad. But
I wasn't even thinking about Far Cry 3 playing. Mm. The like Peggy Man is great. Mm. Main character seems cool and all. There's a scene, and again, I know it's like I haven't played the whole thing, therefore I'm not going to argue it. But I want to point out there's a scene like right at the beginning, after you meet Peggy Man, you're like kind of a dinner guest, and then as you walk out of your own volition, there's a scene where you walk by a room where that American dude is it's a different guy.
Okay.
He's torturing someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't played.
I can't remember the character's name. Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, this is like a little side thing. I just happen to stop and watch.
Yeah.
There's a scene where this guy's
I mean,
like,
I see some torture going on. I gotta stop and see what's
torturing
going on.
Someone, and he's like some American mercenary guy, and he's talking to this guy, trying to get him to talk or whatever, but he's sitting there and he's talking about like, trying to get him to yap, and then he gets a phone call, and he's talking like to his wife. And or something, and he's just like kind of being like real sweet, normal, whatever. And he goes like right back to like, to like zapping this guy. It's like some of that stuff is like really smart. But you know, haven't done the whole thing, so I'm not gonna argue it. It's Destiny, right? The grimoire entries are brilliant.
Might be. I don't. Who knows? I never went back to read them, even though I probably could get into that stuff.
I kind of said it earlier. I think I voiced my opinion on Wolfenstein's characters and story.
Yeah.
But what did you? How did you feel about it? Did you argue for that at all?
Yeah, but I didn't finish South Park. I only played through, a quarter of the game, so I couldn't shut them down. They were all pretty pumped up about how complete that story was and just how much fun they had. And but I think Wolfenstein was kind of a close second there. Just because.
So Matt and Trey Parker wrote, Matt and Trey Parker, they wrote that, right?
Yep.
So that's a little unfair, don't you think? It's like, here's some video game writer dudes from Starbreeze or whoever the hell. Wait, no, not them.
Machine Games. I think
sorry.
It is ex-Starbreeze guys, though.
Yeah. So you have some like video game writer dudes versus some dudes who write for a living.
Video game, like story of the year accomplishment. Story accomplishment of the year might be Wolfenstein. Right. For not only are they going up against that, but they're trying to make us give a shit about Wolfenstein. Okay.
And
first of all, here's your main character is named BJ Blazkowicz.
His name is literally like blowjob guns or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I assume that's like German for guns. I don't know. Yeah, like the dude, like
Blowjob Explosion. I think that is his name.
That's it. He's a meathead, and I'm so. They broke him down very quickly in They did a great job with that. Like I think the story pacing in that is fantastic. Like they wrote all the characters really well. You gave a shit about BJ. They had a good love story. They had some that scene where he's. They wrote a scene in that where he's Oh man, he's in the mental. I don't want to. Spoil everything.
Right.
He's in. BJ goes to a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where there's like a time lapse. And they introduce characters like in this like scene, basically through a cut scene. By the end of it, they've advanced a relationship in like 5 minutes, and suddenly you give a shit.
Fucking Wolfenstein.
And like, how do you do that in a video game? Like, no one does that. That's the kind of shit you pull off on TV or movies or something. Yep. That was really impressive.
I'm marking you down for a no, because just to give Wolfenstein some more points, because...
Fuck yeah, Wolfenstein.
Goddamn. All right, last two here. Indie game of the year. You'll notice we got rid of our messy, downloadable games under $15 types of categories there. So, just indie game. I forgot about this. So, our finalists were Shovel Knight and Banished. Our winner was Sports Friends.
Nidhogg.
got nominated.
Shovel Knight.
Frazzers, Jazz Punk.
Hey,
Jazz Punk Jazz Punk got like no love from us, man.
I had I played it, maybe I would say. But you'd love just honorable mention to NES Remix 2?
Oh no shit! All right, I'll give it that shot. I didn't play it because
get through the first Remix 1 levels of each game.
Was Remix 1 shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit about the game selection. In this one, though, you've got some pretty freaking good games. It's got Mario Brothers 2 and Kirby's Adventure, whatever, like, you know, the first Kirby game. Punch Out's in there, Kid Icarus, bunch of fun stuff. And they have like an unlockable version called like Super Luigi Brothers. It's Super Mario 1. You play as Luigi, and all the stages are in reverse.
Yeah.
It's, like, simple, but just, like, a cool thing. Here it is. Cool. There's a game. It's, like, in there. I thought it was really neat. If you get past the first, like, three or four stages of each game, because they're, like, made for, like, a two-year-old.
And
then
suddenly, sure.
Then, like, it kind of turns up the heat a little bit, and you realize, like, oh, man, these games were not the easiest thing in the world. It made me want to go play, like, all of those games, though. And Dr. Mario was in there. The game selection is really good. That was fun.
I'll have to get that shot. Yeah, I completely wrote that off, so glad you said something. We were pretty hyped about the total package in Sports Friends. Got a lot of, there are multiple Johann Sebastian Joust fans this year. That's what I did when I went out to Vegas to play with Cole and Kenny, who happened to also be influential on our voting. So it's kind of the core of where that comes from. So I'm assuming you're a no. And you're pushing for Shovel Knight. Am I correct?
I think it's got to probably be Shovel Knight.
Yeah. Any other? Oh, I mean, throughout NES Remix too. So.
And you know, Nidhogg's on there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Nidhogg.
The Jackbox Party Pack also is kind of in there too. Yeah, but that's also fair. It's like I don't know. It's a little bit more expensive. I think
that's the thing. I've come out of this. I have to Far Cry 4, and I have to finish South Park. I have to Far Cry 4, and I have to play some Jackbox. Which I think we're going to play some Jackbox in the office this week. So we'll hopefully that'll happen. So
it's like 8 people playing Drawful.
We can do that. Got enough devices. I love that you use your $600
tablet
phone.
If you have it.
Right.
If you have it.
Instead
or just,
of
if
buying
one of those people that...
8 $50 controllers, use your $600 device that you already have.
That's right. Use the gigantic iPhone that is keeping you from sitting up straight. It's like the new, like, old guy's wallet. You put it in your back pocket, and then you can't sit on it normal.
All right, here we go. Game of the year. Do you expect to be...
Wait. This is category 26 already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I take back some of the things I said that went really fast.
Yeah. 40's a lot, though. We can agree on that.
Yeah, 40 is too many.
So before I announce these, do you think you'll be, based on our prior track record, are you going to be happy with how this turns out or unhappy?
I'll be unhappy.
Okay.
Because I know you didn't give it to Marvel Heroes 2015.
Okay. Yep. That's fair. We did not give it to Marvel Heroes 2015.
I don't know. I honestly, you know what? I thought you guys were going to say Shadow of Mordor, and I don't think that you did.
Okay.
I think, wait, could you want me to guess it before you
say?
Sure. Wait, can you give me the nominees, and then I'll, without telling me which one?
You want our final five?
Yeah, please.
All right. We've got, in no particular order, Far Cry 4, Hearthstone, Wolfenstein, Shadow of Mordor, Alien Isolation. Those are our final five.
Who won? It was Shadow of Mordor.
It was Wolfenstein.
You won? No way!
You can...
What?
Coop was steadfast, so I can give you... My top three were... I gave it to Shadow of Mordor for my overall. And then Wolfenstein was number two. Hearthstone was number three. We had some Hearthstone fans. We had a couple hard-ons for Far Cry 4.
The hardest of hard ones.
It came down to Wolfenstein and Mordor, and it was the same debate I had in my head when I chose Mordor, which was you got Wolfenstein, which is total package, versus Mordor, which is standout feature. Mordor will be seared in my brain for so long, but I'm not upset. But it was so close. Like, I was swapping between all three of mine all week, so I couldn't shoot down Wolfenstein, but everybody else kind of went with Wolfenstein.
I had a really good time playing Shadows of Mordor. Like, it was, I'm like, yeah, the combat's really fun, and the story is serviceable, and the world is fine.
Yes.
The Nemesis system was awesome.
Yes.
It was, you're right, it was not a total package, and I hope the team gets to do another game, because that game, when it comes out,
Here's the scary thing, is they probably didn't even go as far with that Nemesis system as they wanted. All the other stuff around it that was average to pretty good. I mean, it's still... As far as the traversal and exploration side, the traversal side of open world action games, it did that as good and better than everybody else in the playing field. You don't have to convince me. Shadow of Mordor was my pick, but Wolfenstein's just complete package and lack of. I always said it had a lack of a glaring flaw. I still think it was missing its standout moment or standout, it's just the thing you can hang your hat on with it. Like, I just kind of felt that way about a lot of games in 2014.
Yeah.
But it was just the amount of surprise from that game and how enjoyable it is to play, and the fact that story is so good, and you fucking give a shit about BJ Blazkowicz. I'm not upset at all that Wolfenstein, the New Order, took it.
Shit. I feel like there were a bunch of games this year that came out that were good games that just were really deficient in one area or something that. And Wolfenstein's deficiency is that it was the shooting and the action were stuck in time in a lot of ways. And it was fine and it was fun. And they did enough with it so you could have a good time with whatever play style that you preferred in those kinds of games. But it was a certain kind of game with most of the gameplay. However, we've been gushing about the story and the characters, but
yeah,
we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. The locales you go to and just overall kind of level design.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was pretty good. You felt like you had options and a lot of levels, even though you didn't have to go everywhere.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that at all, but the pacing of the gameplay in that, just like how they broke up every... I mean, it's the levels are so well done. They're just like... I mean, this is the template for first person. I felt bad because I didn't, get through... I don't feel bad for not getting through Advanced Warfare, but at the same time, I don't really know what Call of Duty's doing in its single-player realm, but But Wolfenstein was just, it was just so well paced, kept my attention. It kept my attention, and like, also, what I liked is it gave you the choice of doing stealth or going in guns blazing. Like, mm-hmm. as far as the officer stuff. So, you know, at times I would sneak around, and at times I would just say, I'd dual wield and say, fuck it, and let's blow up some robots.
There's an underground train station level in that game where you can take that level, you can sneak through that whole thing and just be shanking everyone. Or you can go in kind of guns blazing. When you get to you finally get through it and you're like, okay, here we go. And then these train cars, there's some crates open up and terrible things come out. and then you're like, oh God, now what? There's a lot of combat puzzles mm-hmm. for a game that is like it's very, well, Wolfenstein-y kind of, you know, you dual wield any gun in the game, like that, a game that lets you do that. You think like, well, they kind of, their mm-hmm. their actual enemy and level design is going to have to be kind of stuck in a certain way. And they got around that.
So, I mean, I think they defined that in the first two levels, because when I first tried to play the game, I got stuck in the trenches, like in that first level. And it's actually kind of hard. And at that point, I was like, man, this game is just going to be balls of the wall, dual wielding, sprinting through this, gunning down dudes. Yeah. And then you get to the castle in the second stage and you kind of figure out, hey, if I take some time with these officers, I can make my life a little bit easier. But from there on out, it throws combat puzzles at you in a really subtle way. That is another thing of, I can't believe they did that in a Wolfenstein game. And
it had so many memorable moments.
Yeah.
On the train, when you're sitting across from those two Germans.
From Frau. Oh, Frau.
And there's the little, they play that little game with you. that was intense.
Mm-hmm.
There's the cool, I thought like the bridge when the dude drops you in on the, bridge was cool. And I liked are we spoiling locations? Is that it?
Nah.
Do we give a shit?
Nah.
Like, you go to space.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes like, and then you get like the weird, like, the underwater shit, like, crazy. There's just like so much weird.
I think I took a screenshot cool and I said, Bioshock Wolfenstein at one point.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Bioshock Wolfenstein Tomb Raider, because it actually gave me some.
And then it goes weird, and then you're like, you're into this weird, like, I remember at some point seeing something and going like, oh man, they're going to the weird mythology from the Alias or something, like the Revolt, what was that, the designer that made like the old weird crap in that show. Anyways, guess you didn't watch that. No. It's a weeded show.
But then you also hang out in a concentration camp, and that's fucked up.
God, there's so much. It's fucking weird. There's so much cool stuff. And then, like, then the next moment, you're like hunting for like a man child's toys or something. Like, what the hell?
Yep.
I'm like looking for like.
Then you're having nightmares.
Oh man, that this is so.
Did
much
you win?
Awesome
did
stuff.
You win your nightmares?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
And I found all the secrets.
Cool. So I assume that's a yes. That's a yes from you.
Fuck yeah, Wolfenstein's great.
Was there anything you wanted to see in the top five? That
it's hard for me to argue it because of it really seen before. But GTA 5 on PS4 was the most fun
game
I had all year.
Okay. I think Shovel Knight was also close. I know that's also
Shovel Knight was just freaking fantastic. And I bought it on three platforms now.
So
it's the game I bought the most.
What is the game from 2014 that you want to go play right now?
What are my choices?
Just anything. I'm fine.
Last of Us Remastered.
All right. Nice.
I've got it downloaded. And it's on my list.
I was excited for that game when it came out. And I played through that opening section. And I was like, oh. This game's awesome. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this to myself again. So
I'm trying to wait. It was when Remastered was coming out. I'm like, I don't pre-order games a lot these days, but that was one I knew what I was going to get. So and I want to reward that because that game was so, so good. So, okay, here's, you know, I'll get that. But it was still fresh in my mind, but I'm kind of to the point now where I'm ready because that it's enough of the story is faded.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So somebody, I recommended to a couple people recently, and I was talking to them about it, and they started mentioning scenes, and I was having trouble remembering details about them. That means it's time to play it again.
I hope that they, and I don't know if they did this, I want them to give you an option to play Left Behind in the middle of it, like where it needs to fit, like story-wise.
Like it's not a prequel? I thought it was like a...
something. No, it's in the middle. Before. It's in the middle. Okay, it is, content is prequel, but where it makes sense in this overall timeline, the story, like mm-hmm. how they would tell the narrative, it's better in a flashback that occurs at a certain time.
Okay.
So, and I think they could complete some stuff there with that moment. So,
When would you recommend that I play it, knowing that I'll probably play the game, the full game proper again soon?
I could be wrong. I think it's around the winter. It's either right at the beginning of winter or, it's right around there. It's right around the winter part.
Okay. Okay, so I'll stop.
I would say
come back.
Yes, I'd say before you, like right after winter hits, that's when you play it, I think.
After Nolan North is introduced?
Yes, but before you know the extent of Nolan North.
To his northiness.
Yes. So, all right. Josh, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for jumping in here and recapping this with me.
Yeah, thank you.
So
yeah, that was a good time. You guys didn't do quite as bad as I thought you did.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I want to see what the tally is here. Hold on, let's see what we did here.
You know what? I just want to say, overall, I know a lot of people were disappointed by how many games got pushed out of this year, but it was fine. It was a fine year for games. There were plenty of games. We had plenty of fun. However, 2015 is going to own bones.
Hopefully, yeah. I think it just didn't have that showstopper. That was the only thing 2014 was missing. It still had its 9.5s. It just didn't have its 10. So does that make sense?
Sure. But that's okay. Witcher 3 is coming soon.
Is it
to remedy that? May? Well, that's not that far away.
Is that right? Right now, we can double check this number. So, first time I went through this, I said you agreed with 10 of our 26. So, which is actually better than I thought I expected. So,
I'm not a dick. Five. Everyone's six, got whatever. Seven, I just, eight. My opinions are my own. Nine. But I feel like you and I agreed
10
more times than I agreed with the group.
I felt really good this year. From the variety that we had in our individual lists, our games of the year lists from our individual writers, and then coming together as a group, and I did not stand in the way of some of my of some of the opinions like I have in previous years. But also, it was because it came down to a couple games that I can't speak in detail to: Alien Isolation, Far Cry 4, or South Park. So a lot of those battles, I had to go with the group consensus and kind of take their word for it. There's some guys I trust in there, so it's fine. But yeah, so you agreed with 10 of our 26. So
okay, that's probably a good thing that that I'm not the one in charge of
this. I think that's fun. A fun way to kind of conclude this. So it's been a long week at the Grammys. We hope you guys enjoyed our coverage. We had a lot of fun talking through this stuff and recapping it. So for HorribleNight.com, I'm Justin Lacey. Thanks again to Josh Lee and our live crew of, let's see, Jordan, Cole, Aaron, Jason, Justin Gifford, and Coop. Thanks, everybody, for all your help there. And Horrible Night will be back again with more games in 2015. We'll see you then.